The following podcast is a glimpse into the life of First United Methodist Church in Beaumont, Texas. We pray it is a blessing as you seek to love your city with the heart of Christ.
We pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I've wondered it since the first time I stepped in this sanctuary years ago for the Vienna Boys Choir concert. It was a school night. We were living in Dayton, Texas at the time, and somehow it came across my desk that the Vienna Boys Choir was going to be here in Beaumont, Texas. And I had heard the boys choir when I was in St. Croix in the Virgin Islands as a kid. Not the same boys. Those boys grew up. And I told Holly and the kids, I said, we're going to Beaumont. The concert's at 7. We can eat on the way. You can sleep or study on the way. We're going to Beaumont. It's a school night, Dad. What are you talking about? I said, we're going. And I came in the sanctuary, and I saw these windows. And I wondered, which came first, the creed or the deeds? It's up there. If you read from the top left down and then up to the top and down and up, and that's the Apostles' Creed, word for word. And if you look at the outside windows in the back, above the balcony, from the top left down and then the top right down, we have the deeds of the sheep in this story. Feeding the hungry, we do that at SOP in Cairo's Kitchen. Drink for the thirsty, again, SOP and Cairo's Kitchen. Welcoming the stranger. And you all have found out as you've welcomed me that I'm stranger than most. Clothing the naked, SOP, and so many other resale stores in our community, visiting the sick in the hospitals and at home, tending to one another's lives, visiting the imprisoned. Our veterans do a great job of that. And in between those two windows are a host of saints. You should go up there sometime and look at them and research them and find, I mean, look at their pictures and understand who they are, because they both professed the creed and performed the deeds. They did one more thing too, but we'll come back to that. So which came first, the creeds or the deeds? I mean, it might depend on which windows were installed first, or which way you entered the sanctuary. I mean, if you come in from the back of the sanctuary, from the narthex, do you know that in the narthex, that's where the penitents worshiped God? In the old days, that room out there, it's called the narthex, N-A-R-T-H-E-X. I had to look it up, how to spell it, how to pronounce it, and what it was for. That's where folks who were not yet in the fold would worship until they were ready to profess the creed and perform the deeds. They'd wait out there. If you come in from there, you see the creed first, and then as you go out, you see the deeds last. So maybe, but then if you come in from the sacristy, you kind of see the deeds first and then the creeds, which maybe it's which direction you face in worship. I mean, you guys are always looking at the creeds. The choir's always looking at the, I don't know. I don't even think it matters. Anybody know anything about sheep and goats? I don't know much about sheep or goats. I've only ever helped prepare sheep for the county fair show. Toby, our dog, and I would run after them because the adrenaline that they produce when they're being chased by a real dog shapes their muscles in a different way than just running. And I've only ever observed goats with one time having responsibility for feeding them. And there was this old billy goat, and they said, don't go in his pen without something between you and him, because he's mean. And some reason I like goats better than sheep. I don't know why. I just do. The picture on the bulletin, the worship guide, I took that out in Uvalde, Texas. It's a goat. I don't know. Somebody suggested he's saying, I don't know. No entiendo. I don't understand. But goats in Jesus' day had a very important role religiously and theologically. You see, on the Day of Atonement, the priest would sacrifice a bull to atone for his and his family's sin, so that then he could go into the Holy of Holies, where he would sacrifice a goat for the sins of the people. And then he'd take some wool and rub it in the blood from the sacrifice and tie it on the head of another goat and send that goat out of the city into the wilderness. And by the time of Jesus, they would hire someone every year to make sure that goat found its way off a cliff so that it didn't wander back into town, bringing the sins of the people, the symbol of that, back into town. And that's where we get the word scapegoat. Somebody's got to be blamed for it. Let's blame the goat. You don't want to be a goat, right? You want to be a sheep. But the other thing is that they wouldn't just have sheep and just have goats. They'd have them all together, sheep and goats, in the flock, in the fold, all together. And it got me to thinking about this passage. Because the sheep and the goats had the same reaction. They both called the shepherd who separated them Lord. And they both were surprised at the Lord's assessment of their actions and lives. I mean, I think the goat on the cover is saying, what? I'm a goat? I'm not a goat. You gotta be kidding me. I thought I was a sheep all this time. I'm a goat, really? That's what I think he's saying. Then after I thought about that, I began thinking about the whole chapter of Matthew 25. We've got three parables. And Matthew was writing to the early church. Three parables, 10 virgins, all invited to the wedding as bridesmaids. They were all in the family. Three slaves who all worked for the master. And then sheep and goats all in the same fold. I mean, used to, when we preach this, we talk about those who were faith practitioners and those who weren't, but all of the sheep and all of the goats are in the house together. So I don't know what we're going to do about that. But maybe there's three things. The first is self-examination and renewal. If you will, you can hold up your hand and pretend it's a mirror and look at yourself and say, self, thank you, how am I doing? And then you can look at both your hands and say, hands, how are you doing on this stuff? How are you doing? How am I doing on all of this? Feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, welcoming the stranger, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, visiting the sick and the imprisoned. How am I doing on this? Am I doing that which I am called and what the church has confirmed for me to do? You see, if all of us do everything all together at the same time, two things will happen. We'll be overcrowded at small events, and we won't be doing all that God has called us to do as a congregation. That means that we're not all going to be doing all the same things all the time, but we're going to multiply our efforts by doing different things together and separately. So the first one is self-examination and renewal. Asking myself, how am I doing with this? The second is encouraging one another in God's great work. So look at somebody to your left and say, thank you for all you do for God's kingdom. Thank you for all you do for God's kingdom. And look at somebody to your right and say, keep up God's great work. And then hold your hand back up and look at yourself and say, self, you too. Great job and keep it up. You guys think I'm just silly up here. Mary, I love what you did with the popcorn. Inviting others to pop in. And I want to let you know that God invites us to pop out into the world. To love this city with the heart of Christ. See what I did there? Pop out. But that's what it's all about. That's what the saints up there did. Barbara Heck is up there in that window. Do you know who Barbara Heck was? She was an early Methodist in New York, and they were playing cards. And in that day, cards were not among favor among the religious folk. And she went to her cousin, Philip Embry, and she said, preach or we'll all go to hell. And they formed a Methodist society, as they had in Ireland. You know who else is up there? Captain Thomas Webb. He was an early Methodist pioneer as well. He retired from the British Navy as a captain, and he went all about the Northeast establishing societies and funding them and preaching. He and Philip Embry alternated in the first Methodist society in New York. And he established the first Methodist society in Philadelphia. They're up there, saints who performed the deeds because they had professed the creeds, and then they went out with an evangelistic emphasis, because our creeds and our deeds must lead others to creeds and deeds. You know why? I mean, I really don't know a lot about sheep and goats, but I know this. Sheep come from sheep. It seems obvious, right? But sheep come from sheep. And as we came into worship, we proclaimed the psalm that said, we are the sheep of God's pasture. And so we're the ones to bring in more sheep. How do we do that? Well, last week I had the honor and privilege of preaching at our interreligious community service. And I've preached community services before, but never one quite so diverse, including Muslims, Jews, and Hindus. I didn't know what to do. Well, I picked up the phone, and I got online, and I called, and I texted, and I emailed other human beings whose faith practice is different from my own, and I listened to them, and I learned from them simply by asking Mr. Wesley's question, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? And that's a question that fits into all three categories: self-examination and renewal. Look in the mirror and say, self, how is it with your soul? Are you working at being right and at one with God? Are you working at being right and at one with neighbor? The rabbi taught me that's the Jewish way of living shalom or peace, the journey of being right with God and right with one another. Self, how is it with your soul? Leads us to ask our neighbor, how is it with your soul? From the Hindu religious leader, I learned that the word namaste is the divine in me recognizes and greets with joy the divine in you, and greeting one another with joyful thanksgiving. I'm so glad to see you today. How is it with your soul? Not a question you might say at the very beginning of the conversation. I learned from our Muslim neighbors that people in different cultures greet each other in different ways. And so the way that I was taught to greet somebody with a big howdy might not always go over too well. And it's better in a different setting, in a new culture, to be a little more reserved. And maybe wait to ask that question, how is it with your soul, for the conversation to develop? Here's what I know. Our young students are trying to raise $20 to buy a flock of chickens. What if we helped them buy the farm? What if we helped build the kingdom? What if we helped make more sheep, whether they come to this fold or one down the street? I really don't know a lot about sheep and goats. And I really don't know which came first, the creeds or the deeds. But I sure do know a lot of people who love God and who love loving their neighbors in the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you would like more information, please visit our website at www.lovebeaumont.com.